You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome back to the CGA Tour. I'm still your host, Calvin Glenn Alexander, and today I am talking about some Oklahoma State versus Texas Tech football, especially that happened today. I would call it immediately, my reaction is it's a game to forget, but I had to bring in a good friend, Trey Florence, who we used to do the Calvin and Trey radio show back in the day at Oklahoma State, believe it or not. And so had to get Trey on the podcast here. And Trey, what are your immediate reactions from the game?
And I'm Trey. Oh, wait, yep. Sorry. Yep. I have to do that. I always have always to do good. That.
Hi, I'm Calvin.
Let's just say the beginning of the game, we were not awake. That's for sure. We always struggle with waking up at 11 a.m. games.
Well, yeah, but I mean, at the same point, like the bye week's next week, right? So we should have been prepared, should have been ready to go. We were a 10-point favorite. I know it's at Texas Tech, but the last time we lost to them was when they had Michael Crabtree playing. It's kind of crazy that we've been so good for so long against them, and we were still 10-point favorites today. We beat K-State pretty good. You know, like they were ranked when we played them. Granted, it was only 24th, but and we weren't mm-hmm. ranked, but granted, we're probably like in the 30s or so, which we're unranked because they only do top 25.
Well, we were, according to ESPN, we're ranked 21, but yes.
Well, no, totally I mean understand. like this week, but we got ranked after we beat K-State, right? Yep. So my whole reaction is the least, why in the world couldn't we, like, why didn't we beat Tech? You know, was it the offensive line play? Is it Spencer Sanders, like, in the offensive line play and total throwing? What, I think three or four interceptions? I think three interceptions three. And two fumbles for the day mm-hmm. for the Cowboys. One was LD Brown, one was Sanders. But, I mean, Trooper Hubbard did really well, of course, and Tylan Wallace had, I think, 10 catches. The game was for no yards. It just seems like Tech either really figured Sanders out, and it's a really bad thing because dude's a redshirt freshman, figured out in, what, his sixth game overall of the season? Mm-hmm. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you think here.
So, well, first off, it doesn't help that we have multiple penalties, or, well, mostly multiple turnovers. That's the hugest thing. Five turnovers, geez, you're not going to win a football game with that. I mean, Texas Tech did not have a single turnover, so that's one, the biggest reason is just all the mindless turnovers. Like if we had like just the three interceptions, yeah, we would have been fine. But since we also had the two fumbles, that's pretty much where it killed us pretty much overall. I mean, whenever you get a turnover like that, especially in the beginning of the game, and you just lose all momentum.
Yeah. I got to think as well. It was such an accomplishment for the defense to hold them to 20 points. And we had, I think, four turnovers in the first half, maybe right. three. But I think it was such an accomplishment by the defense to hold them to only 20 points. Every single possession Tech had in the first half, besides I think one, was in Cowboy territory or within the, you know, was in like the 50 or so. They had amazing field position in the first half is what I'm saying here, right?
Right.
They had an incredible start to their game. They scored 20 points. They were out on us. But then, you know, we scored seven before halftime. And I'm feeling okay. I'm feeling like, okay, you know what? We're only down two scores. It's just two touchdowns. This team can score in an instant. But something happened there in between of halftime with the defense where the defense just really either got gassed, you know, and they were just, mm-hmm. they were not able to hold it in the second half, or we just, you know, their defense made adjustments more to our offense and our, you know, and stuff. And then all of a sudden our defense was back on the, you know, back on the field more, and their offense was killing it. You know, I feel like their offensive adjustments were really, really good because they beat us flat out like the first two possessions of the third quarter, right?
Right.
They just beat us. It wasn't close. It wasn't great, you know. But then we started trying to come back, right? We start trying to come back here, and it still couldn't get it rolling.
I mean, we had a shot. I mean, granted, we did give another interception at the end, so we could have made it maybe a one possession game if we got a touchdown. But like overall, like our fourth down wise, we were doing really well, like going for it on fourth down. We were 4 of 5, which is pretty good to begin with. I mean, it's just, I mean, you can't really say too much about time of possession because they were pretty much dead even. OSU had 31 minutes and 56 seconds of possession. And, of course, this is probably for the whole entire game, so it doesn't tell me exactly everything. But, you know, it is what it is. But Texas right. only had possession only 28 minutes. Most of it was because the second half, OSU had the ball more. I think the biggest issue with OSU right now is their play calling, to be honest with you. It's always a draw up the middle, and it's kind of been the thing that's always been the thing that every OSU fan hates. Yes, we have a great running back now, but we had 56 attempts at running, and we only get an average of about 3, which is not the best thing in the world.
Is that today?
That 56? Is today.
Wow.
56 attempt rushing yards, average was 3.9. So, yes, it's a little bit better, granted. But Texas Tech, on the other hand, only ran the ball 35 times, and their average was 4.6. Granted, they did not get as much rushing yards as we did, but they had a crap more passing yards. They had better passing. They were averaging 10 yards a catch, pretty much, compared to us, where we were only at 7. So yes, it's a blessing and a curse. Like, we have an amazing running back, don't get me wrong, I love him to death, but what?
Yeah, go ahead. No, I mean, you said
but if we're running, like, it's those little draw plays that do not help us whatsoever. Like, yeah, it gets us a yard, but like, we gotta come up with something better than like a draw up the middle, which gives us maybe a yard. That's what our problem has always been, is like, oh, don't know what to do, draw up the middle.
Well, let me ask it to you this way. This Oklahoma State mm-hmm. game was clearly a defeat, you know, mm-hmm. and it was an upset, but it was also this Oklahoma State team, you know, is now a disappointment. Do you think the disappointment from today's game is either A, the head coaching, right, the play calling, all that stuff that goes into that, the preparation, et cetera, et cetera. B, do you think it's the offensive line play? C, the turnovers and Spencer Sanders throwing 3 interceptions? Or D, all of the above? What are you thinking?
I'm going to go with option E, and I think it's because we're a young team. Most of our positions are relatively young. Yes, there's some seniors here and there, but for the most part, your main guys are pretty young. I don't know what year Chuba is.
Chuba's a redshirt junior, I believe. He could be a redshirt sophomore, though.
He is a sophomore.
Sophomore. Okay. I guess the key, like, thing that I keep coming to out of all of those, right, is Sean Gleason, this Princeton offensive mind, right, that Mike Gundy found, and it's kind of, you know, kind of like that Yurcich guy, like somebody not a lot of guys in the country were thinking about, supposed to be incredibly good. Then once he's hired on, we learn a lot more about him. It's, oh man, the coaching circles were already talking about him. Okay, we're kind of all up to speed. This guy should be pretty good. He comes in. He's supposed to have these crazy type of offensive plays that, you know, just runs different stuff, right? Runs stuff we haven't seen as an Oklahoma State offense in a while. Brings us out of that Yurcich mold. Brings us into the new age of throwing the football and all type of good stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And instead, it's, dude, like, either Sanders can't learn your playbook because it's too complex, or your playbook is very simple and Sanders is trying to find an, you know, option C and E. C, D, and E every single play because A and B are already taken, you know, and there's got to be something different there. There's got to be something I'm missing, right?
Also, do you think Sanders can actually throw the ball down the field very effectively? That's my kind of like recap of this, because they tried, like, to be honest with you, they tried the week before, not the week before, but at like Tulsa, whenever they were playing Tulsa, they were trying to throw bombs down the field, like what they were doing with like Mason Rudolph, and they couldn't, like, I could not see him doing it, like throwing down like a 40-yard bomb or anything like that.
Yeah, I think he can throw into down the field pretty well, but I don't think he has the touch. I think he has the arm. I think he has the mobility around the pocket to create extra time to be able to launch downfield. But I think that the touch, you know, really the accuracy is what we're talking about. Is he doesn't have that just yet? And hey, listen, he's an awesome quarterback. I love Sanders. I don't know if Drew Brown would be better. We haven't seen Drew Brown play meaningful minutes at quarterback, so no one can say for sure. As far as his Oklahoma State offense goes, I know he played at Hawaii before, but Sanders looks fine, right? Like in the fourth quarter, he looked pretty darn good besides that interception. You know, he was driving the ball down the field. We scored a lot of points, right? I mean, we scored 35 total today, and we scored seven of those before halftime. We scored 28 in the second half. So we outscored their team in the second half. We just couldn't make up that 13-point differential we went into half at with. We couldn't make it up, right?
We were close.
We couldn't. You know, we were driving down there at the end. We had an onside kick go our way. We had everything working for us, but we were close. We just slipped up, let it happen, and Texas Tech has now beat us 2 years in a row. Like, what is going on, man? This is Texas Tech. We were favored to beat them by 10 points this year. Last year, I think we were favored to beat them at home. They're not supposed to be good. Right? Is this the team we're going to slip up on? Like, it used to be K-State, you know, in years back, in Gundy's earlier years. It's like K-State, oh, man, we're going to slip up against K-State? Really?
Right.
K-State? Come on. Like, we're going to let their kind of, you know, their different play style of having a bigger quarterback who is also kind of like a tight end size who can just plow through guys and their running back option and everything. And then the ability where, like, Colin Klein was able to throw the ball down the field extremely well. But are we going to – is this now like the team that we aren't able to get over the hump against? I know it's the immediate reaction. It's only two games that we've lost to.
I don't think so.
Back-to-back years,
I still think it's like the K-State mentality. Like, they just – once again, we're not a – I've always said this. Gundy is not a early start game team. I've always kind of said this. Anytime that we have an early game, we always struggle out the gate. And – TU showed up this beginning of the game and showed up, and you could see we started, you know, playing our offense and everything like that. It was a little too late because we weren't awake at that moment in time. And so that's my key is like, we suck at early games. I don't know what it is. It's just anytime it's whenever we get a kickoff at 11, it's just never good for us. We always look pretty bad in the beginning, especially, in this one, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, 11 a.m. kickoffs may not be our thing, but what it seems like to me and what a lot of the Twitter heads, and I'm going to say Twitter heads, right, because we don't, I'm on there too, right? I'm also tweeting out about the game. So a lot of the Twitter head ideas before the game started was, oh my gosh, is this team okay? Is our play calling? Is this team okay? You know, like, is the team okay? Like, are we all right? Did we wake up? Did somebody miss the bus at the end, or did the flight get in this morning? I mean, something happened where he didn't wake up. And then, oh man, it's going to be the play calling. Like, those were the two things. And I know that's reactionary. And I know that's, oh, there were two picks in the first half and two fumbles. But man, at some point, this is a team you just got to be able to beat, right? We lost to Texas. We still want a chance at the Big 12 championship. And I mean, unless something crazy happens, unless OU loses twice, unless Texas loses twice in conference, Texas only has one loss, but it's out at a conference. You know, we're now out of the Big 12 championship game.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Like, if you look at the rankings right now, you got Oklahoma. Well, technically Baylor, TCU, and Texas, West Virginia still haven't played yet, but they're all technically ahead of us now. Now you have Tech ahead of us. So now, right now, as the standings are, we are six in the standings.
Yeah.
So don't think we could come back, to be honest with you. I mean, to be honest with you, we're probably going to struggle against Baylor for homecoming next week.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why we're not. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why we wouldn't be struggling against them. They look fine. They beat Iowa State, or they were really close to beating Iowa State the other week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch a lot of Baylor football, so I'm not up to date on them. But they're not that bad
right now.
Well, they're 4-0. They've won one in conference. You know, they have a bye week already. So what they beat? Yeah, they beat Iowa State in conference. They're playing at K-State today. That'll tell us a lot we need to know about them. So let me ask you this way, and we'll kind of talk about the Texas Tech stats here in a second. But do you think the K-State game last week was a fluke? Like, we didn't really deserve to win it like we did because of the delay, the lightning delay and all type of stuff, and maybe got through K-State off, and we just kind of took control and we beat them? Or do you think this Texas Tech game is a fluke? You know, because we saw two different Cowboys. Which one do you think is the real one?
You know what's sad? I don't think either of them are the real one. I think the real one potentially is the Texas one, the one that showed up against Texas. But, I mean, that's the thing with Oklahoma State and what Gundy always does. I love him to death, but we always play to our opponent. We don't play better. We don't play – like, we play to their level. We don't have our own level to determine. That's always been, like, OSU's, like, biggest, like – pain point of being a fan is which OSU is going to show up this week, the one that beat, you know, somebody big last week, or the one that's going to play to a Tulsa level where it looks pretty bad at the beginning.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm looking back at this K-State game now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We scored more points this week than we did against K-State. We only scored 26 against K-State. Granted, it was an odd game, but I felt confident Oklahoma State was going to win pretty much the whole game because K-State wasn't that close to us the whole game. But, yeah, I mean, after we scored the first two touchdowns. It just is to me that Texas Tech is just an opponent I would think we would normally beat, right? That's the key thing for me is I think we can normally beat Texas Tech. They're the Red Raiders, you know. They're like the knockoff Oklahoma State. But the only game – they've lost two games so far this season. One was, you know, at OU. Like, no one expected them to win that one. And the other one was at Arizona, which, I mean, I don't think Arizona's that good. I don't think the Pac-12's that good at all. But then again, let's see here. Arizona is, I'm trying to figure out. And then again, Arizona is 3-1 and currently at the top of their conference.
2-1, I thought.
No, they're 3-1.
Oh, yeah, 3-1. Yeah, you're right. Standards. Sorry, 2-1.
Yeah. So that's kind of my thing. It's like maybe Arizona and OU were pretty good, and we just didn't think so. And then we thought we'd beat Tech.
Granted, this is a little off topic. Probably the reason why Arizona lost was because they were at Hawaii. So there's that huge jet lag, and Hawaii has that big, you know, advantage. But that could be just beside the point. We kind of went off topic on the Arizona, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're trying to figure it out, right? We're trying to go through here, figure out why our alma mater lost to a team that we previously, till today, had been 9-1 in the last 10 years against, you know, had dominated, had played them every single time, been 9-1, and then something happened today. Something happened today that was just different. I haven't seen Oklahoma State quarterback throw three interceptions in a game that I can remember.
It's been a while. I think JW did it once, but JW Walsh, that is. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, but I also haven't seen – I don't know. I haven't seen – I can't remember an Oklahoma State team that had five turnovers and couldn't cause one turnover on the other team.
Right.
Right. Or I think we had one turnover on them. Right? No, it was ruled back. It was ruled back, I think. So.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. That's my thing. It's like I can't remember a game where we played this bad, this poorly, these stats wise, all this type of stuff, and it worked out this way. I can't remember a game like that.
Ooh, we would have to go way back. Oh, man. I mean, technically that Grambling State game, pretty much.
Oh gosh. But still, like we lost the turnover battle 0-5. You know?
Flat
out. Yeah, Texas Tech just beat us on that. And I'm going to work into the stats here. Mm-hmm. We lost out on total yardage. We lost out on amount of first downs, but only by three. Mm-hmm. And that's because we put them in a great field position a lot of the time, though. But we won the possession game. You know, we had the ball for more time than they did. We had more chances, what that means, and we couldn't make the most of it. We actually beat them on penalties, you know. Well, we beat them in rushing pretty good, but in passing was the huge difference. And that normally is not the case for us.
Do you think that they're trying to be more balanced, which is kind of hurting us? Because that's what it looks like right now. I think they were trying to pad someone's stats so that they, you know, may still be in the chase for the Heisman.
I would say yes, but I really don't think so. Sanders threw three interceptions on the first half. So then you're going to change your playing tactics to, okay, the redshirt freshman quarterback is having struggles early on. Let's get him in rhythm. Let's get him some short passes, and let's have us run the ball a lot. lot of easy handoffs where he can just keep going down the field and start, you know, seeing the light turn more into the shade of green in his head and out of the shade of red and yellow that it was in before, you know, before he throws every ball, right? Because you throw that first interception, you're thinking, oh no, the next one's going to be interception. Like, yeah, you just have that in the back of your mind. Crap. You know what I mean? Like, until you throw the first one, it doesn't enter your mind. It's not a big thought. Then it happens. Then the second one, and you're like, oh gosh, all right, every single time I throw the ball, man, every single time. And then, he had two interceptions in that first half. But his third interception, you know, was late in the fourth quarter for trying. But he still fumbled the ball once, too. I think once that happens, you give it more to the running back. You give the running back more chances. And this guy leads the nation in rushing, you know, still today probably. I don't know how Wisconsin ended up against Kent State, but we still had an amazing game on the ground. Dish Hubbard didn't rush for over 200 yards like he had every single week beforehand.
Right. He did get three touchdowns. He did have one long of 22 yards, but that was pretty much it. Texas pretty much contained him, unlike what K-State did. K-State let him run all over him. So I think this is kind of – I know this is going to be an awful comparison, but it's very relevant. Basically, Oklahoma State Cowboys are just like the Dallas Cowboys, where if their running back doesn't do anything, Dak Prescott can't really like carry them as hard. Kind of the same, like not as well on talent wise, but we have a really good running back. We have a mobile-esque quarterback with Sanders. So, like, I feel like if you shut down our run game, it's going to also affect how we play overall.
Yeah, I would say so for sure. That's been our identity so far this season. We, you know, Hubbard had 1,000 yards rushing. And, I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe we just figure out the whole puzzle piece here. And we just got to start looking for it next week. Because, I don't know, because the rushing didn't work out for us. We weren't that good on the ground, especially early on. Couldn't get in rhythm with it. And that was it. You know, do we want to just chalk it up with that? And I should have had option E all along being the rushing attack.
I mean, not really, because, you know, well, what we probably need to do more is more play action. I don't feel like we do as much play action as I feel like we need, because right now it's either we rush or draw up the middle or do like some slant passes. There really isn't that, like, I don't remember from the game that many play actions, but or play action that look decent, let's say, because, you know, I feel like Sander doesn't sell the play action as well as some other quarterbacks can do.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, Sanders not being able to throw the ball with a lot of accuracy downfield, be able to stretch the defense as much as he wanted to. Texas Tech also having very fast and mobile safeties. You know, like, I don't think of K-State safeties as quick. They are probably just as quick, but and I haven't scouted either team's defense to like know who's the player of the week, all type of stuff. I'm fully honest with that. But at the end of the day, I really just didn't think this would be a team we'd lose to. And I was talking a lot of smack to one of my coworkers who went to Texas Tech this week. It's going to be a rough Monday, Trey. I'm going to let you know right now.
Yeah,
it's going to be a rough Monday.
Oh, I have no doubt. I wish I knew what the average field position was, but I can guarantee you Tech's average field position was either 40 on their 40 or in Oklahoma State. That would probably be easily what I would say is probably their average field position. About 40, 45 yard, would you say?
Yeah. Yeah, what? Yeah, I would say their average field position on their own, like 40 maybe, because we had a couple punts there at the end.
True.
But yeah, I mean, they had really good field position, especially in the first half. They honestly, they were not able to really make a difference off the turnover battle. That's the thing. The turnovers really just stopped our momentum. They only scored 10 points off of them. It really didn't kill us. You know, the turnovers killed us off of the
chances. We did lose by 10, though.
Solid point. But what I'm saying is, like, the turnovers, it's not like they scored, you know, we had five turnovers and they scored, you know, 35, right? They didn't score 35 points, the max amount off of all of the turnovers. Instead, they scored 10, you know? Mm-hmm. They scored a one field goal and one touchdown off the turnovers. It merely, the turnovers stopped our drives, you know, stopped our drives that were either pretty good or okay, you know. And sometimes it stopped us before we could even just get the ball down the field, you know. First right. couple were I mean, rough.
It's a blend. Like, if we only had five turnovers and we had no penalties, I think we could win. But if you have a blend of both where it's like at least 50 yards, which that's what we had, and a bunch of turnovers, it's just like yourself wounding yourself, which would not help you in at all winning a game like this.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and move on to next week, because we're going to exhaust.
Next week is going to be awful.
Well, next week's not that bad, though. You want to know why?
It's Baylor and it's homecoming.
It's the bye week, Trey. We have the bye week in between. This is back-to-back seasons where we have the bye week before homecoming. Maybe actually be 3 years in a row. I'm not sure. I haven't researched that much. But back-to-back weeks where it's a bye week before homecoming. Last year for homecoming, guess who we played?
Baylor.
Texas. Close,
we did?
Close. Still in the same state. You know, so you're good on the state. But, yeah, we played with Texas.
I always feel like it's either Baylor. Like, usually who we play for homecoming is Baylor or Kansas.
Well, yeah, but last year we played Texas, top 25 of the nation. Might have been top 15 with the Barry Sanders unis in the 1988 replica jerseys that are my favorite Oklahoma State has worn in this whole jersey battle and jersey, I don't know, period that we're in, where everyone changes jerseys every single game. Also, today's jerseys, fire. Love the ice. Love the white, I guess. But especially I'm going to keep going on this. I'm wearing the exact same hat here with that symbol, you know, with that, like, star symbol or whatever that we wear on the helmets. I just think that looks so good, that badge. But anyways, we play Texas Tech. we play Texas Tech next week. I don't know what I'm saying here. Play Texas Tech this last week, break, and then we play Baylor homecoming. Baylor might be ranked after this game today. They beat K-State. We're going to fall out of the rankings here easily after this game. Baylor
right.
might be in
and
the rankings when we
undefeated
play
undefeated at the moment.
Yeah. Actually, I would say Baylor's for sure in the rankings. They beat an Iowa State team that looks okay, beating us who have looked okay. We've looked okay. I think I feel okay saying that. And what, that's
but
it?
Their schedule's undefeated? Been pretty easy. If
yeah,
I'm
but they're
going
undefeated.
To...
Like, you're undefeated like six games in. You're going to get ranked. You're going to get right. ranked. You know? That's the thing, though, is that if we had won today, we were one win away from making it to a bowl game this season.
True. That is very true.
So,
I mean,
so what do you think about Baylor so far? That's kind of the next question here.
Well, Baylor, like, yes, they are 4-0, but they've also played not very tough opponents. At least we had a challenging-ish opponent this year with Ooh. Oregon State.
But, no, get stop.
Okay, well, it's better than you know, San Antonio or what is that? Oh, Rice, UTSA, and SFA.
But I don't think by a lot. I'm going to be honest.
I mean, at least we're playing another conference.
Okay, I'll give it to you that way. We're playing another Power 5 conference with Power 5 athletes. Definitely, 110% true. That is better than SFA, who knows, Stephen F. Austin, I think, University of Texas, San Antonio, and Rice. Baylor really tried to go play all the Houston area schools in San Antonio. Really tried to play the Southern Texas schools. I mean, they really played the trifecta. I'm honestly thinking about this here. If they had played UTEP instead of SFA, it'd been crazy. But, you know, of like the secondary Division One schools in Texas. Anyways, but they beat Iowa State. You know, I know it was at home only by two, and it was a close game, but still, Iowa State's a good win. They're not
bad.
Yeah,
but they haven't played anybody. Like, we at least played Texas. And
Iowa State had played Iowa.
True.
Oh, that's it. I just got the argument. I won it.
With what, Iowa?
Yeah, no. Iowa State didn't play Iowa. Come on. You know,
that's like going down the Kevin Bacon thing right there. No.
I'm going Baylor. 6 degrees of why this team is good. And the sixth degree I hit on before I would have been too far is Iowa State played Iowa. I'm fully willing to admit that.
Because that's the only thing that you got for Baylor is that they played a team that beat Iowa. Whoop-de-doo. Their schedule has been like, there's no testing. Like, yes, technically today, whenever they play, don't they play K-State today?
Yep, they're playing them right now. They're playing them live on ESPN2.
So they haven't played anybody
in the second quarter.
I'm going to see because, okay, so they play Kansas today, which we played. So we'll see how that goes. And then they, of course, play Texas Tech.
Yeah, I got you. Keep going. Keep going.
They play Texas Tech next week while we're on our bye week. You know, they, you know, we'll see how that goes. And then pretty much you have now played our exact schedule roughly. So we can then compare apples to apples then. But for right now, I'm not extremely worried about Baylor. They haven't like really blown anybody out of the water besides, you know, Stephen F. Austin and UTSA, but we blew people out of the water, you know, Tulsa. So, it's really hard to compare to Baylor right now.
Yeah, you're saying it's hard to tell, which I get. I totally understand. I don't know. Can I go one more 6 degrees on you here?
Oh, boy. I can't wait to hear how far we're going down this rabbit hole.
Okay. So, here, let me... Oh, Trey. Here we go. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let me... Hang on a second.
I can't wait till you say, like, this grandmother of the famous player of this played on this team, and he is amazing, and that's the reason why they're going to win.
So let me set this up for you, all right? Here is why Baylor is going to be a tough opponent, okay? This is my six degrees of Kevin Bacon. This is my 6 degrees of why this college football team might be okay.
Are we going to the seventh degree at this rate?
Chill out. So Rice has scored 13 points against Baylor when Baylor beat them, I believe, here at Rice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Rice scored 13, all right? Then I'm going to go here over to Texas. Okay, they also lost to Texas, I believe, at Rice. It doesn't say for sure, but I think it was at Rice. Okay, guess how many Rice scored against Texas?
13.
13. All right, so we're working here. Both teams only, you know, both times Rice played a Big 12 opponent, they only scored 13. Biggest difference here. All right, Texas scored 48. Baylor scored 21. Which means Texas is just that much better than Baylor, but we still lost to Texas. So we're somewhere in the middle. We don't know why Baylor's good yet, but they're undefeated. They're still killing in the Big 12, and they held Rice to only 13 points, just same as Texas did. So they're good at playing Big 12 teams, and Baylor's already played a common opponent of Big 12 teams here. So let's see how it goes.
But if we use that logic, though... Then you're going to say Wake Forest is better than Texas.
Are they not? Wait, Wake Forest is not better than Texas? Texas is, Texas lost to LSU.
Okay, what? Wait, hold up, what?
I'm sorry, I'm just messing with you. No, I mean, I don't know, Wake Forest. What does Wake Forest have to do with anything?
Well, I mean, Rice also played Wake Forest this year, and they technically scored less, or Army. You could even go Army on us, too, because Army technically only allowed Rice to score 7 points.
Wow. Only 7. Man, Rice is out here playing real teams, real opponents, and they're 0-4 to show for it. So,
man. Much.
Actually, 0-5 now. Ooh, it just updated. Ooh, that's rough. I don't know who... Louisiana Tech. Man, is this turning into a Rice fan podcast? I don't know. Let's go back to Baylor here. What do you think about homecoming? Are we going to wear any special uniforms, Trey? Gotta get the uniform look from you.
Oh, no doubt. Homecoming. What's this year's theme? I forgot.
Are this year's homecoming theme? I don't know. It's definitely not Barry Sanders winning the Heisman 20 years ago, because now it's 21 years ago. Although it would be pretty cool, because Barry Sanders did wear number 21 at Oklahoma State. Hashtag go Pokes.
I mean, we usually they tie like a theme with the homecoming game as well, and they usually try to mirror the jerseys to match it. So, like, for example, like, whenever it was more like a spooktacular one, they were wearing all black. And whenever they were, like, I forgot one of the years, like, the movie one, they were more, like, the white, because it's more movie-related. So I'm probably going to assume we're going to go with a white helmet with Ghost Pete on it, probably orange and black legs.
Wow. Ooh, so white helmet, orange and black?
Yep, with Ghost Pete or whatever you want to call him.
I would love that. It looks like I'm on the website right now, and it's in very heavy cursive. So it's either in the world turns or in the world tours, and I'm not really sure, to be honest. The whole director board is on there. It's on their shirts as well, and I honestly can't read it. So I'm going to go in the world turns, but I'm not sure here. Maybe if yeah, no, I have no idea. I'll keep looking here and update. Maybe we can get a uniform complication up here. Why this Oklahoma State, you know, game against Baylor is going to be so crazy or whatever. I don't know.
So do you think Baylor's going to wear all green or no?
Yeah, they should. Just be Baylor, you know, just wear all green. Just be stupid. I hate their green, honestly. They're green. I don't get green and yellow teams. Oh, besides Oakland. Dude, the Oakland A's really kill it. There's something different about that shade of green versus the shade of green Baylor wears. And I don't know what it is, and it definitely is not my favorite. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's better than the Green Bay Packers alternate uniform.
Yeah? Well, that's very true. Because that's like yellow and blue, though.
Yeah, that's before they were like the Packers, supposedly.
True. Okay, I gotcha. Oh, so the theme this year is As the World Turns Orange. So is the homecoming
correction
thing.
All orange.
All orange. Orange helmet, orange visors, orange face mask, orange jersey.
Oh, no, I'm
going to
take it one more step.
Lettering.
It's probably going to be chrome orange helmets.
Oh, go, dude. Oh, my gosh. Chrome orange helmets would be sick. I would love to see that. I like how we've gone from being very depressed about this Oklahoma State team and the outlook for the rest of the season and how far we could do with a redshirt freshman quarterback and a, FBS leading rusher and Blitnikoff runner-up receiver of last year to talk about the uniforms and really getting into the whole fashion aspect of the game.
Which yeah, for the most part, though.
I know that's why you came to the CGA tour. You wanted to know about football fashion. Hashtag football fashion whenever you're listening.
Of course, football fashion. But for the most part, this team, they're going to go probably to a bowl game. They're probably not going to win the Big 12 because that kind of died today. But it's going to be interesting. We're probably going to be a spoiler to somebody. I have that feeling because that's usually what always happens. We probably will spoil. I would love to say we're going to spoil OU, but it's going to be rough.
All right. Well, let's walk down the rest of the season here real quick as we finish up today's podcast. All right.
Okay.
So we have Baylor at home. At home. Okay. So you're talking about that as a win. Saying win. Okay. All right. So Baylor home win at Iowa State.
Probably an L.
Okay. I'm going to say currently we have 5 wins in your projection.
Yep.
Versus TCU at home.
Win.
6 wins. We're going to a bowl game. KU home.
Win.
7 wins. It's an okay bowl game at West Virginia.
Loss.
Okay. 7 wins. Still going to a decent bowl game.
And loss.
And home to home OU. Dude, Jalen Hurts looks like he's going to win the Heisman or kill somebody for it this year. And I don't know which I'm more scared of.
I feel that.
Oh,
one.
My gosh. Here, wait.
Do you agree with my, though, of the remaining season?
Here, wait, let me say that one more time here. Okay.
Okay.
I just want to make sure you get this out there. All right. In my mind, Jalen Hurts looks as though he is either going to kill somebody for the Heisman Trophy or he is going to kill somebody for a number one overall draft pick, because that man is on a mission and works out after every football game and posts Instagram videos of it. And he answers questions like there is no happiness in his entire life, and he is not allowed to be happy until he wins the whole freaking thing this year. And as an Oklahoma State fan, I got to say, I'm really scared about that.
Me too.
I mean, oh, dude, wow. that game could be brutal. After today's game, and Texas Tech looked bad against OU. Ooh, dude, we looked bad against Texas Tech. Common opponent. And early in the season still. I mean, still, you know, before, you know, we just played the sixth game today. So just halfway into the season. Not looking the greatest, I got to say. But, I mean, I do agree that I think we'll get 7 wins. I disagree a little bit. I think we'll beat West Virginia and lose to Baylor. But that's my only thing. Baylor looks good. They're 5-0. You know, if they beat K-State today, they'll be 6-0. Baylor's 6-0 coming into Stillwater ranked. Like, they don't have a good history of it. They didn't win in 2013. But, I mean, we have 2 losses. They have none. I don't know. You know, mm-hmm. We went through the 6 degrees at Baylor, and they haven't played a ton of good teams at all. It's hard to tell. But, I mean, I think Iowa State's okay. So, and they beat them at home. So, I don't know how we're good. I don't know if we're okay or not. I don't know if we're better than Iowa State. But I'm not ready to make a declaration on it. That's for sure. I don't know. 110%.
Yep, I feel you on that.
All right, Trey. So as we officially wrap it up here and get done, do you want to give a score prediction for the Baylor game here in 2 weeks?
45-27.
45-27 Oklahoma State. Our highest total scoring in this season has been in the 50s. But Baylor hasn't allowed a team to score more than
20.
Yeah, 20? Really?
That's their average.
Yeah. So Iowa State, they allowed 21. It showed that Vanderbilt game, and I was like, whoa, a second, hang on. From last year. Yeah, so the most they've allowed is 21 for Iowa State. I'm gonna say we're gonna beat them. I'm gonna say we're gonna lose to them. Excuse me, because that's currently my prediction, which looks grim, but I think we'll be okay the rest of the season. I'm gonna say we're gonna lose to them like 35-21, you know, 35-28 somewhere in there. We just don't look like we can just score a ton of points against everyone. Of course, we scored a bunch against Oregon State, no issue. We are fine there. We scored, you know, over 30. Against those good old boys down in Texas, even though they ended up beating us. But I don't know, man. Like, you know, we only scored 26 against K-State. I don't know if they're good or not. It's hard to tell. We scored 40 against Tulsa, but we had hiccups early on. We scored 56 against McNeese State. Of course, they have, like, Ed Ogeron's kid playing quarterback. But and 56, I'm not going to knock. And 52, I'm not going to knock. I'm not going to knock it. We scored over 50 against those two opponents, and I'm not going to knock that. I just think we allow too many points against Baylor. You know, I think Baylor can score pretty good. They've shown that they have the whole season. And, you know, the lowest amount Baylor has scored in a game is, what, 23 here? From no, 21. And that was against Rice, which is weird. But, I don't know. I feel like they can still get it, you know? Baylor scored 63 already this season, more than any points we've scored this season. And, who knows? But they've only played one Big 12 game so far, and this season, and it was, you know, I mean, it was a win. It was a win against Iowa State, but it's only 23 points. So I don't know. I don't know, man. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I'm not ready to make any just definitive statement on why we're going to win or why we're going to lose. But I don't have a good feeling after this one. And this is a game to forget in my in my tagline here, a game to forget for the Cowboys. I don't know, but you know what? Dallas Cowboys are going to win tomorrow. Going to beat Green Bay. We're going to be good. We're going to be good. The Cowboys play Jarwin, and the Dallas Cowboys are going to beat Green Bay. When Green Bay looks really good, and the Cowboys couldn't beat Teddy Bridgewater and the New Orleans Saints last week. Also, that's on that football. You know, who knows, Trey?
We'll see. We'll can't wait to say, go Packers.
Dude, why?
Why not?
Are you a Packers fan? What's going on here?
No, I'm just not a Cowboys fan. Dallas Cowboys fan.
Who's your team, Trey? Who's your NFL team? No. We've been over this. Are you? Who's
for
your,
another
who's your
podcast.
Player? Okay. Well, we got a little bit more time here at the end. Who's your player to watch this season? Who's your favorite NFL player to watch then?
Well, my guy is out for the season, probably. Drew Brees, because he was doing phenomenal and then got hurt. So since he's out, currently, who am I watching? Oh, yeah, I'm watching Russell Wilson, just purely because he's my fantasy quarterback in another league, and he was killing it last night, or the other night.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Not slightly biased at all.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
And with that, I broke Calvin.
Yep. I'm broken. I did tweet here. It's wrapping up the podcast. One word about Oklahoma State. Our good buddy Brody Myers here is really firing on all cylinders on the Twitter game. But he tweeted out, the Alamo or Camping World Bowl do not seem to be in the cards now. Cheez-It, Liberty, dare I say, Armed Forces Bowl. And as a big Cheez-It fan, I'm going to say Cheez-It Bowl or bust here. But back to Brosy. Back to
Brody. I'll take free Cheez-Its any day of the week.
Cheez-It Bowl or bust, man. Maybe that'll be the tagline of this podcast. Actually, be okay. Hashtag the CGA Tour, sponsored by Cheez-Its. Well, Trey, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. It's been great having you on, and please go follow at the CGA Tour on Twitter and Instagram, as well as the Facebook page I'm building as well here. And then I want to say thank you also to Podcast Detroit for letting me use the studio today. It's been a pleasure, and I think the audio sounds way better than normally my Blue Yeti mic hooked up to my laptop. So that's the producer in here nods his head. So thanks so much again, Trey. Trey, where can we follow you? What's your stuff?
I don't even know at this moment in time. You can follow me. You find me. I don't know. Don't really care. I don't have any plugs at this moment in time.
And if you're just out there on Twitter, follow at Shadow Ready on Twitter or YouTube. Good friend of mine.